I was ministering to someone, and more than one person, it kept coming up about security. Like, they just felt like they had no security. So I looked up the definition of security, okay? And this is from the old Webster. Now listen to the definition of security. Protection, defense or safety from danger of any kind, that which protects or guards from danger, freedom from fear or apprehension, confidence of safety, safety, certainty, something that's secure, something, listen to this one, something given or done to secure peace or good behavior. So as I looked at those definitions, I realized security is the world's attempt to have peace. Okay, security. Now, what is really shaken in America right now? Security. People have lost their savings. People have lost their retirement money. People have lost their incomes. People are losing their jobs. If your security, if you grasp security in the world system, you're going to not lose your peace. Okay? You're going to lose your peace. So here's the definition for peace. Not that I agree with all this, but it's a state of quiet tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, freedom from internal commotion, freedom from private quarrels or disturbances, freedom from fear, terror, anger, anxiety. It's a quietness of mind, calmness, heavenly rest, harmony, a state of reconciliation, to be reconciled, to live in harmony. So when you look at that, you're thinking, my goodness, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. Who did he reconcile us with? Right, he came to reconcile us with God, with the Heavenly Father, with our Creator. I'm going to talk about peace a little bit more, but let me take this back to the mind of the flesh. And then I'm going to get, there's a lot of teaching on peace. See, you guys, we're looking for answers in the world that's being shaken. And the only way you're going to really have peace is in the kingdom. God is shaking everything that can be shaken so that you're either going to fall into the kingdom or into the world. Don't ever think that the mind of the flesh and being in the world is okay with God. Let's look at this part real quickly. And then Romans is the chapter for this, I'm telling you. Romans 8, 6, but all of Romans is so much about this. This Bible talks so much about peace, I was quite amazed. People are seeking for peace. And we were doing a teaching, it should be out soon, on condemnation. Has anybody been helped by stopping that voice of condemnation in your head? Has anybody really seen a difference? I had someone email me and say, they are so radically on fire for the Lord right now. And they said that one teaching so changed their life, because their whole life they heard that voice of condemnation and thought it was either God or themselves, never realizing that you actually could have a voice speaking to you that wasn't God. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you have condemnation, you're still living in the mind of the flesh. We have got to get rid of double-mindedness, okay? So there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ who do not walk according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we are called to say no to the flesh and walk according to the flesh. All right, what is walking according to the flesh? It's not in, okay, we have a religious, self-righteous, wrong understanding that to walk after the flesh is to enjoy your life. That's not true. When God talks about the flesh here, he's talking about your five senses, your flesh, drawing you into sin. He's talking about your eyes causing you to want to look at pornography. He's talking about your ears wanting you to hear gossip. He's talking about your mouth wanting to eat things that's harming your body. He's talking about your flesh, your body being in charge and leading you into sin, into lust, into perversion, into sexual sin. Okay? He's not talking about give up enjoying the earth that he made for Adam and Eve to enjoy. He's not talking about get rid of relationships where you get to enjoy people that God made to have relationships with, just not perversion of trying to get needs met in people. He's not talking about not enjoying your life. He's really talking about enjoying the world. Okay, thank you. The world, or the earth, not the world system, but the earth that God created for mankind is for us to enjoy. The flesh in the Bible is talking about when we fell from being led by the Spirit of God or just living with God in charge of everything, and we then begin to make decisions based on what we thought was right or wrong. In that making decisions on what we thought was right or wrong, there was a constant judging everything. There was a constant trying to decide what would hurt us, what was okay. It was taking the place of God. So all the laws had to be written. We've talked about this. So that we could try to understand what God wanted and didn't want. And so what God did, Jesus came so that the Holy Spirit could live in us, so that we're no longer trying to figure out what God wants and doesn't want based on the law, but we are led by His Spirit. His Spirit will always line up with His Word. He and the Spirit and the Father are one. But He leads us there. He sets us free. He causes us to enjoy how He created us. He's not the enemy trying to make us have a horrible life. He hates divorce, so He understands why He set up marriage. He understands about passion. He understands the whole thing. He has it all covered in here. He understands joy. What we've done is we've in the mind of the flesh, we tried to be spiritual, and we became religious. And if you did that better than somebody else, well, look at your old self-righteous self of you. And God's bursting all these mountain bubbles and valley bubbles, and He's bringing the mountains to a place of realizing they're the same as everybody else, and He's bringing the valleys up to realize they're the same as everybody else. It's one of the things He prophesies He's going to do before the return of Christ. That's part of the shaking. All right, so this is here. For the law of the Spirit is life, of life in Christ. Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. I won't get into all this again. We've got this on teaching. The law being powerless, that is, it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous demand of the law might be fulfilled in us, those not walking according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. We have to choose to walk in the Spirit. And we've talked about it. I think we talked about it some last week. Different ways to spend time with the Lord, ways to pray in the Holy Spirit, ways to really be built up in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he goes on. But according to the Spirit, for the ones that are according to flesh, mind the things of flesh. Now let's get this. We talked about this last time, but I'm not sure if it ended up on this teaching or not. Part of it did, maybe. It doesn't matter. It's really good teaching. You need to hear it again because we got to kill the flesh. All right. For the ones that are according to flesh, mind the things of the flesh. And the ones according to the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. So, how do you know which you are? If you think more about security being in the things of the world that you have to make work. Folks, the world is under a curse. And the world is under the curse because God put it under the curse because we chose to know and to judge and to be our own gods. And so the world that God was going to keep great for us then, and we're going to talk about this at the marriage, it's on our marriage teachings, but for those who have to work, it's going to cause a lot of heartache and stress and anxiety, and it's never going to bring you that security you want because it's cursed. Yay. But Jesus died and took away the curse so we can be in the kingdom. And see, we say, well, that's just ridiculous. No, you're still in the mind of the flesh. You don't realize the kingdom is spiritual and it's very real and it's going to last forever. And there's love, joy, peace, and righteousness in the kingdom of God. And you would rather judge people who've entered into that. Well, you know, while you're taking all your antidepressants and all your medicines and all your therapy and spending all this money trying to find some peace, you don't understand. God's word has made a way for peace, but it's a different kingdom, it's a different realm, and it's real. But you got to let go of the mind of the flesh. He sent Christ in the likeness of sinful flesh to do away condemned sin. And everything the law required was fulfilled in him. For those who walk according to the flesh, it's not true, but for those who walk according to the Spirit. But the ones that are according to flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. And the ones according to the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. So be honest, what are you? Are you minding the things? Are you minding the things of the flesh? Or are you minding the things of the Spirit? Now, let me tell you, when you mind the things of the Spirit, God will work out the things in the world that you have to deal with. He will keep you employed. He will take care of your kids. He will bless your marriage. See, it's like he's not asking us to go and hide out somewhere and hum all day or something. You know, he's not asking for this kind of stuff. It's not in here at all. You don't ever see any of this kind of crazy religious stuff in the Word of God. You know? All right. For the ones that are according to flesh, mind the things of the flesh. And the ones according to Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. What do you mind? Well, how do I know? How much time do you spend, not in self-righteousness, trying to learn the Word of God to pound it on somebody else? How much time do you worship God? How much time do you listen to praise music? How much time do you pray in the Holy Spirit if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit? If you haven't, go ask God to do it. It's really simple. He'll do it. He promised it. It's poured out. How much time do you mind the things of the Spirit? Spending time with God, wanting His will, wanting to learn His ways, renewing your mind. Renewing your mind so that the mind of the flesh loses its power. Think of it this way. If all of a sudden your mind is blank, and nobody's taught you anything, and you've got to learn, how does all this work? And God gives you this book, and His Holy Spirit's in you. He says, let's learn about the kingdom. You'd read this book. If you go to another country and you don't know anything about their customs, you don't know anything about their laws, you don't know anything about communicating there, nothing, and you go there and somebody hands you a book explaining their culture, explaining their rules, explaining finance, explaining everything, you would read it because you wouldn't survive there very long acting the way you used to act in another country if it's really different. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, the cool thing about this kingdom of God is you can't do it with the mind of the flesh. That's self-righteousness. So not only do you get a book, you actually get God himself inside to reveal it to you, to make it real to you, and to communicate with you. Gosh, we miss it. Don't you get it? This is really, if you let the Spirit do it, if you let the Spirit do it and you expect him to do it in faith, he wants to talk to you in here. Some of the worst teaching I've ever heard is like, these intellectual, self-righteous people who need to get free. I don't despise them. God, I pray for them. After last night. I can say, don't do that thing where you just open the Bible. I will too. Because I ask God a question. He pops a scripture in my head. I'm going to see what he's saying to me. But that doesn't excuse me from not reading the entire letter in content and understanding God line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory. Because you got too many. Some people just only do that. Well, how? Like that's like a fortune cookie. What do I do today, God? Then if you read the thing about you're going to hell or something, what are you going to? No, you got. You have to understand the word and the letters and the intention, and you have to have the heart of God because he's working all that in you as you study his word. But I really do want you to understand, this really is his letter to you, and the Holy Spirit loves it, loves it. He loves it when you sit down and get quiet in faith and say, God, teach me about Jesus. Holy Spirit, I've got this problem. I'm putting this thing on the altar. Would you show me this? Would you give me wisdom? Would you give me revelation? Would you help me with this? And he may not do it right then, because you actually might have to go through a few things to get to a place to hear. But you have to pray believing. You have to ask believing. It's all, let me tell you, it's faith-based or it's wiped away. It is impossible to please God without faith. Impossible. He is totally not concerned about your intellect. He wants to use your brain so he can give you his mind. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. It's a reality. It's spiritual. I've got God's spirit in my spirit. My spirit's alive in God. And if I get that for real, then I can begin to develop the mind of the Spirit instead of the mind of the flesh. All right. For the mind of the flesh is death. That doesn't sound good. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace.